Well, please have your Bibles open at Acts chapter 10. Now, people are always at their happiest when they understand the world around them. But people only understand the world around them when they're surrounded by people of the right culture and the right worldview. You see, when we're born into a particular place at a particular time, a particular family, and from them we acquire our culture, we acquire our worldview, and the world around us just becomes so familiar. It becomes so friendly. It's incredibly comforting to be there, surrounded by people who are just like us, who think in the same way that we do. And it's incredibly uncomfortable for some people, not for everyone, but for some people, to step outside of your culture, to step outside of people who have shared the same worldview as you. We get it regionally, different parts of the country. I know that people up north are quite different to people down south, and that's a cultural thing. Still haven't got used to the pies you have up here, you know. Still not used to them. But, you know, that's just a minor thing. At least you speak the same language. Sort of. Yeah. But, yeah. You know, it's not too bad. But just imagine going to a place where there's a completely different climate. Oh, hang on, that's up north as well. But go into a place where there's a completely different climate and the people, you know, they look completely differently, they speak differently, they have different food, they have different beliefs, and a different understanding of how the world works. And that can be very, very uncomfortable. It can lead to culture shock, where people just feel unsettled and uncomfortable, and it just doesn't feel quite right. We are people who are happiest when we're surrounded by people who think the same way as us, who have the same sort of values. That's our comfort zone. And when we go somewhere else, that's stepping outside of our comfort zone. And it can be very, very uncomfortable. Well, here in Acts chapter 10, we see the Apostle Peter. He's taken a huge step outside of his comfort zone. And he's doing something which, in many ways, it's one of the most important things that happens in the whole book of Acts. The gospel is now spreading out to a new people group, which is basically the rest of the world. The gospel is going out to the Gentiles. And this makes this a very important chapter. For those of you who have read Acts through many times, you know that the story is repeated in Acts 11, where we see a cut-down version of the same story being told again. And that just reminds us how important something is. Because when something is repeated in this way, it's absolutely critical. And for us as Christians today as well. Now, I think most, if not all of us here, are people who are Gentiles. So it's very important as we see the gospel going out to the Gentile people all around us. Now, we've got a lot to be grateful for, that the Lord prompted the Apostle Peter to step out of his comfort zone and bring the gospel to people who are just like us. Well, last time, when we were thinking about what Peter was doing, we saw that he was on a ministry tour in the northwest of Jerusalem, a tour which finished with him staying with someone called Simon the Tanner in a place called Joppa. And here we see straight away the kindness of the Lord, because by staying with this tanner in Joppa, the Lord is preparing Peter for the next big step he has got to make. For us to appreciate just how big a step this was, we need to remind ourselves a little bit about how the Jews lived and how they separated themselves away from all the other people in the world. We've talked quite a bit recently about the importance of holiness, the importance of being ceremonially clean. And Peter, as a good Jew, a lot of his life would have been, you know, taken up with making sure that he remained ceremonially clean, that he was able to go into the temple. And this would have affected all sorts of aspects of his life. It would have controlled the food that he ate. It would have controlled the people that he associated with, the places that he went. All those things were things that he had to behave in a certain way in order to remain clean. And by staying with Simon the Tanner, the Lord is preparing him already, because Simon the Tanner was someone who would have been working with leather, he would have had contact with dead animals, and that would have made him ceremonially unclean. So already Peter is being prepared just by the company that he's keeping. And this is just a reminder to us, you know, how the Lord uses and prepares us for different things in the future. And I'm sure many of us who have been Christians for many years, we can remember times when we look back and go, oh, I don't know what I'm doing here. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. It's hard. Lord, please take me out of this situation. I'm sure many of us have been in that sort of place at different times. But fast forward 10 years, and you look back, and you see how you were in that sort of situation, which may have been a bit difficult, and a bit dastardly, and a bit dirty, and you realize that the Lord was actually preparing you for where he wants you to go. Now maybe Peter's wondering, why am I staying with this tanner? Why am I now ceremonially unclean? I've got to do all sorts of things, little sacrifices to get myself clean once again. What am I doing here, Lord? But the Lord is preparing him for the next big step, reaching out to the Gentiles. And this is an enormous step for the gospel. Now, as we saw in our reading, Peter is about to take a ginormous leap. Now, this evening, we're pretty much all Gentiles here. So, we don't appreciate how hard this was for Peter. There were these enormous barriers, not just the whole clean and unclean thing that was going on. You know, the Jews, they actually looked down on the Gentiles. They used to call them Gentile dogs. A nice term, isn't it? You fancy being called a Gentile dog? But that's how the Jews would look down on the Gentiles. We know from our studies in the Old Testament that Jews were called to be a light to the nations. And yet, they had developed a bit of a chip on their shoulder. And they'd become a little bit proud. And they thought that they were so much better than the others. And this led to huge problems. But it doesn't mean that it was impossible for there to be a Jew and Gentile contact. Because the Jews, they were scattered throughout the Roman Empire and beyond, and they had these synagogues here, there, and everywhere, wherever there was a large enough Jewish community to support them. And whenever there was a synagogue, there was some sort of outreach, because there were groups of people who were attracted to the teaching of the true and living God. And here in this passage now, we're introduced to one of these, a man called Cornelius. Cornelius is a centurion. He's an important man. He's there based in Caesarea. Caesarea was sort of the Roman provincial capital. It's where the legions were based, just in case they had to be sent off. And as a centurion, he was someone who would have been in command of at least 100 soldiers, if not more. He was someone who was highly respected in society. He was someone who was very important. He was someone who would have been a freedman, a Roman citizen. And there are actually records of this cohort being based in Palestine. It was there, I think, until 69 AD, they said. So they found records that this group of soldiers were there at that point, at that time in history. Just another point to which reminds us that the book of Acts is real history. Lots of people doubt that, but there's little details like this scattered through the text which remind us that these things really, really were happening. So he's an important man, just the sort of man that the Jewish leaders would not want to have been converted to the Lord, because he was someone that they would have had no leverage over whatsoever. So the man, he's a God-fearer, he's someone who's interested in finding the true and living God, but he hasn't taken that step of becoming, as it were, you know, like a Jew, a proselyte. So this man is a man who is seeking after God. And not just with his head and not just with his heart. He's putting things into action as well. He's known for his generosity. He's known for his good deeds. And he's known for his prayers as well. He's continually praying. And that's a sure sign that someone is genuinely seeking the Lord when they're constantly trying to pray to him. He's got a daily prayer schedule. So at 3 in the afternoon, he's busy praying. And he gets the most unexpected answer imaginable. An angel appears to him and tells him that the things that he has been done has been accepted by the Lord as a sacrifice. Things which are good and pleasing in the Lord's sight. Never think that the little things that you do are not noticed by the Lord. He sees everything. The little good deeds that are done in secret, the prayers that are whispered in private. The Lord knows and sees all these things, and he values all these things. And in the case of Cornelius, he values them so much that he sends an angelic messenger to this man to point him in the direction of the gospel, because this man is seeking the Lord with all of his heart. And when people seek the Lord with all of their heart, then the Lord directs them to the Lord Jesus Christ. So Cornelius, he receives very specific instructions to send for Peter so that Peter can share the good news of the gospel with him. And Cornelius, he sends these messages off. And it's wonderful now as we see the Lord's coordination, because the next day, as the messengers are on the way, we've got Peter, and he's having a prayer time around midday, and he receives this vision, which I'm sure we've all heard about many, many times, where he sees this sheet coming down from heaven. And in this sheet, there's all sorts of animals there. And these animals clearly are the unclean animals, the animals that were forbidden for the Jews to eat under the Mosaic law. And he's given this command, rise, Peter, kill and eat these animals, these unclean animals. And as a good Jew, Peter protests. But then the Lord, instead of congratulating him on being a good Jew and keeping the Mosaic law, the Lord declares all of this food clean. And no man can say that something is unclean if the Lord has declared that it is clean. Then Peter, he needs to be told things a few times. So he has the vision 3 times. And this repetition is a clear pointer that this is firmly fixed in the Lord's will. Then as he's mulling it over, wondering what it all means, the messengers turn up. What wonderful timing. You'd have thought God planned it, wouldn't you? Straight away, the messengers are there. And with a little prompting from the Holy Spirit, another helpful hint. You see how much is being taken to get Peter to take this step. You know, a vision to Cornelius, a vision to Peter, a direct prompting from the Holy Spirit. All of them moving him to step out of his comfort zone and into an entirely different culture. So, after spending the night with these men, they're invited in as his guests. He sets off with them to Cornelius' household. And he takes some men from the local Christian community along with him. And that's important that he's got those witnesses there, as we'll see when we get to the time when he recounts his actions in a couple of weeks' time. This is an enormous step for Peter. Now, as a Galilean fisherman, he probably wouldn't have had that much contact with Gentiles. Maybe he'd sold his fish to them sometimes or something like that. And maybe in his time with Jesus, he'd had some contact with them, but not that much. This is probably, when he gets there, the first time that he's been into a Gentile home. And here in Cornelius' household, he's given a really warm welcome. Cornelius falls down at his feet to worship him. Now, Cornelius is that excited. Just think about that for a moment. A Roman centurion falling at the feet of a Galilean fisherman. Incredible, isn't it? But Peter, he's got his head screwed on his shoulders. And he raises him up and says, look, I'm a man just like you. I'm nothing special. I am merely the Lord's messenger. He is just a man. And straight away, we can see that the chip that's on the shoulder of his nation has been removed. He's treating these Gentiles as equals. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. He's treating them as equals. And there in the home, there's a group of people all primed and ready to hear the gospel. And that's amazing in itself as well, because when they go into the synagogues, God's people who have sat under the scriptures for all of those years, what response did they have? More often than not, rejection and persecution. They go into a Gentile home, and what do you have? A large group of people who are gathered, ready and willing and eager to hear the gospel message. What a contrast between the two. And here we have these people of a completely different culture, ready to embrace God's word. Peter is out of his comfort zone, but he's stepping into this new territory under the Lord's guidance, and he's prepared and he is ready to go. Well, theologically, this is such an important chapter for us because we see so many things changing. We see that distinction between the old covenant and the new covenant, you know, as it were, dissolving as the new covenant is brought in. For those who are interested in dispensations, we see quite clearly that difference between the two dispensations, how the Lord is dealing with the Jewish nation and now he's dealing with the Gentile nation. There's a change there. For those of us who have been following biblical theology on a Thursday night, we can see here the outworking of those promises. Remember what the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 12, that you will be a blessing to all the nations. And while down through the years, we've seen that individuals and small groups have come and incorporated themselves into the Jewish nation, this is the moment when that promise really bursts into fruition and the gospel goes out to the Gentiles all around the world. It is such an encouraging and important section of scripture for us all here this evening. And at the same time, it offers us a guidance, some guidance and a challenge. Well, the guidance is, well, let's think about the challenge first. The challenge is that just like Peter, we are to be willing to take the gospel to all people. Now, it's very easy for us to share the gospel with people who are just like us. Just like us, similar age, similar background, live in similar houses, all that sort of thing. That's when it comes to outreach, is the easiest form of outreach. But as people have different cultures or, you know, different ways of living, and it's nothing necessarily to do with ethnic groups or anything like that. You know, it could be people who are very rich. It could be people who are very poor. It could be strange sinners like me who have moved into the area. All sorts of things, people who are different. The challenge is for us to reach out to these people with the gospel. And the challenge also is when these people come into the church, to treat them as equals as well. And we should celebrate the incredible diversity that there is within God's kingdom. Because we know, don't we, that the Lord will gather together people from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. It's not going to be filled with people like us. Heaven is going to be filled with the rich diversity of all humanity. And the church should be filled with that rich diversity as well. So we need to be willing to step outside of our comfort zone, taking the gospel to new places. We live in one of the most ethnically diverse nations in the world, if not the most diverse nation in the world. We've got all these people, all these cultures on our doorstep. We should be willing to take the gospel to these folk. And when they do come in, we should be ready to welcome these people in. That's the challenge for us, because it's always hard to welcome in people who are different. That is difficult. But with the Lord's help, we can do it. But at the same time, we need guidance as well. Now, Peter required an incredible amount of guidance, didn't he? There was the vision to Cornelius, and then his vision, the two occurring at the right timing, then the prompting of the Holy Spirit as well. Just because we see people out there who are different, it doesn't mean that we should just dive straight in. Instead, we should follow the Lord's prompting. Because unless the Lord goes ahead of us and prepares the ground, then all we're going to do is get frustrated. So we need to be willing and sensitive to his voice. And then, when the time comes, we should be like Peter and step outside of our comfort zone. And as we think about Peter stepping outside of his comfort zone, It also reminds us about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because if it was difficult for Peter to go from the Jews to the Gentiles, how difficult was it for the Lord to go from heaven down to earth, to come amongst us? He went from the glory and splendor and honor of heaven, and he came down to this world of dirt and pain, this world which is just so different to what he was used to. Yet he did this because he thought that we were worth saving. So if Peter is willing to step outside of his comfort zone, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is willing to step outside of his comfort zone, then surely we should be as well. Amen.